T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All my brothers with beards, raise up your beard.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WIP Morning Show on this fine Thursday morning, right, in the Delaware Valley?
Thursday.
John Johnson filling in for Angelo. Al, you know who this is? Don't worry, we will revisit this conversation because we're going to have a bone to pick as the show goes on.
Okay, no worries.
Anyway, obviously, Al Morgani's here. Billy King's here. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning. Good morning.
Rhea Hughes is here. Rhea, you know, might be a little under the weather. How are we feeling this morning, Rhea?
Oh, no, I just had a root canal. So
oh, well, but you never know. I mean, you know, they can have lasting effects.
Thanks. I mean, it's just feeling good.
You might be a little sore as the show goes on. Obviously, Joe Wechter's here. Ava's here. Dan's here. Almost everybody's here. We have a lot we're going to get into this morning, from a huge change to the NFL, which directly affects the Eagles. It directly affects every Eagles fan out there as soon as, well, this coming August. We're going to get into that. Something was said yesterday that, Billy, I think you're going to be upset about. Something that was vile. Something that was insulting.
Hmm?
And it was by a colleague of ours. And it was said about you, Billy. It was said about me. And many others in the Delaware Valley. We're going to get into that very, very shortly. And we're going to take out our frustrations on Al Morgani because he played his part in it.
Me?
Yes. Yes, you, Al. Don't you worry. It's coming.
And Brett Brown hasn't called me in years.
Well, you know, so today, I mean, there are times like right now where you begin to, you appreciate sports. Because, right, you know, and the meaning of each and every game. Because outside of, what, two Flyers games in the last week, there hasn't been anything else to entertain us on a nightly basis for about 8 days.
Well, the Astros are doing their part.
Yeah. The Astros cheating scandal was just, my goodness, frustrating and wonderful and so much to talk about. You get the reports of what's going on down in Clearwater with the Phillies, but no actual games to watch as of yet. So it's been, quite frankly, in the evenings, a painful stretch of channel surfing. I'm glad it all ends tonight. Both winter teams are in action tonight. Ton of channel surfing tonight. Flyers are at 7. Sixers return to the court on national TV. Take on the Nets. Billy, I'm so glad you're with us today because dating back to, I guess, September, you know, there were two teams of the four majors in the city where you could foresee, you know, deep playoff runs, maybe a championship run. That, of course, the Eagles, whose season unfortunately ended in the wild card round of the playoffs. And now the 76ers, who have underwhelmed to this point, and the stretch run begins tonight. Over the past week, and I know, Bill, you've heard it, you were called into the show a couple times, were a guest on the show when you weren't here. Over the past week, many interesting things were said from members of the 76ers, and yesterday in particular. So All-Star break's over, guys are getting back to work. Brett Brown, you know, the team held a long practice yesterday in preparation for tonight. A couple players spoke, including the head coach, Brett Brown, and something he said in particular either has me extremely worried or extremely confident. I'm not sure which direction to go with it, which is why I turn to you. Billy, we know your history in the NBA from assistant coach, general manager, everything else in between. Let's start with this. So Brett Brown said yesterday, when addressing the media about practice, one of our chief
practice,
not a game.
See, I'm already triggering Billy here. He's having
when I hear that, I just, you know,
repressed memories here. So with Brett Brown yesterday, one of the big question marks surrounding this Sixers team as constructed for not just this year but many years has been Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons sharing the floor together. And how they occupy the same space because of what one doesn't do and one refuses to do. And you could go back and forth about that. But it's something that is widely talked about and, you know, it's something we all notice. So Brett Brown decided to address that yesterday. And this is what he said.
The narrative kind of grows and swells for different reasons from time to time, and to be in Chicago and to, you know, talk about one another in that environment on different teams, it didn't surprise me. I would be lying if I didn't say I was thrilled to read what I read, but it doesn't surprise me. I just think it validates to the rest of the sort of basketball hoop world that life's not as bad as sometimes it's made out to be here in Philadelphia.
Now, he said about 38 seconds worth of things there, and the only thing I heard was the first 5 seconds and the final 3 seconds, which was, which he first said the narrative, and then he finally said it's not as bad as things are made out to be. As far as I'm concerned, Billy, it's not a narrative. We're pointing out what we're seeing with our own two eyes over a course of time. What the hell is he talking about?
Well, I think he's trying to distract from everything and get the guys to focus on playing. So you throw things out there and try to diffuse what people are saying. But obviously, we've seen it that they don't mesh well on the court. But it's up to them. I always say you don't need a coach for these two guys to play well. They can figure it out on their own. If they were playing in the park with no Brett Brown, no coaches, and they're playing, say, like the All-Star game where it's just, you know,
right,
there's no time and you got to figure out a win. You do it as players. You figure, if we want to win, we're going to figure out how to get the most buckets. And that's really, to me, been my frustration. It's always like, well, I don't know. I don't understand the offense, whatever. As players, you play. Magic didn't need Pat Riley to call a play over there. He knew who to get the ball to, make sure they win the game. LeBron, when you watch him in the game, he's looking, where's the matchup? How can we get a situation? So
I assume on any team LeBron's on, he's the coach.
Yeah, you're right. But guys understand, like the Bulls ran the triangle offense. It was great, and they passed it around. But they knew in the fourth quarter, we got to get the ball to Michael. Michael knew how to get to the spot to get the ball.
It was the rapport amongst the players and the cohesiveness, the chemistry, so on.
And really, the triangle offense was designed for everybody else. Like when Michael and were in the game, so the ball could pass, good spacing. But at the end of the game, Steve Kerr said, our job is to get it to the fourth quarter, let Michael take over.
Right. So Brett says that, and I'm glad you're bringing some clarity to it because it still has me worried. But then Brett got a little scary. Then Brett, you know, I've always given Brett the benefit of the doubt. He was, you know, had to sit through what he did and then try to put it all together and be on the pressure, and his job's now on the line. Then what he said afterwards really brought me back to a terrible period in Philadelphia sports that just ended. He brought me back to Gabe Kapler, because Brett was asked about, you know, one of the other concerns in the stretch run, understandably, is the conditioning of Joel Embiid. You know, does he have the cardiovascular health? Is the stamina there to play 30 to 35 minutes each and every night the rest of the way? Because history points out he tires, and when he tires, he checks out a little bit, you know, and then we can go on from there. So when asked about Embiid's conditioning, this is what Brett said.
The place that interests me the most, where I see his conditioning being incrementally getting to an elite level, is his head. I think like he is in a space that is excellent as it relates to his excitement seen in this final third home, to grab the team by the throat and lead us in a bunch of different areas.
Well, I mean, it was a little, the audio was a little distorted, but it's probably better off that it was a little distorted because you couldn't fully understand it. Billy, what the hell was that? He ran up and down the court. He was laser focused. What's going on here?
I don't know. That one I can't.
Am I allowed to say what Billy said? Billy,
yeah,
you and I were listening to it, and you go, you know who he's starting to sound like? Gabe Kapler.
Yeah.
And
I said, no.
Yeah. Oh,
no.
You're right. Well, because you start talking and you're trying to,
did he get lost in his own thoughts there?
I think so. I think he's trying to say things that don't upset Joel, keep the fans excited. So in doing so, you start saying a lot of words, but you don't really come together what you're really trying.
You guys have? What's on your minds?
Oh, God. Who was that? That was Brett, wasn't it?
I think the difference with Brett is he's not scripted.
No, he's not.
Gabe was scripted.
Yeah. Right.
But the word usage, I guess.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. We say he sounded like Gabe just because he went into, I think we have another one where he hit space, and all you do is come out like, look, Joel was focused in practice, played hard, and you know, he's ready to go. We're looking forward to playing tonight.
I like the stimulation of it.
Yeah, so as opposed to the 10-second runoff that you just gave us, which was direct, straight to the point, Brett went on for about 35 seconds and sounded very much like Gabe Kapler. Now, bear with me. Is it possible, Billy, that they, meaning Joel and Ben, have secretly, I don't want to say secretly, or maybe, you know, behind closed doors or not in front of a camera, have acknowledged their on-court relationship, what has gone right, what has gone wrong, what needs to change, and could possibly use this as motivation the rest of the way?
Oh, I think so, for sure. And I think when you go to All-Star Game, you get away from the immediate attention that you have in your local city. Other players or other legends are there, and they say, God, you guys can play. Just go and focus on that. Don't worry about it. You know, and so they hear that enough, and they also realize there's 27 games left. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to make this work, we can focus in. And it's almost like you said, they almost want to, let's go win this and sort of shove it up everybody's butt because...
Well, Joel said the media is trying to separate Ben and I.
Yeah.
When I found that so insulting because I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah. We know what we're watching here.
We know the issues.
You
know it's your fault, Johnson.
Yeah. Right. And apparently, it's our fault. It's my fault. And it's not what they're doing on the court. It's point the finger at somebody else.
Well, I mean, when I was in my job as a GM... A lot of times you would try to point the finger at the media to sort of get it away from the players.
Right, in order to help the players out.
And you make them rally around each other like they're trying to tear you guys apart, so let's focus. So I think they got 27 games.
Well, and now let's revisit the very start of the show 10 minutes ago and how we envision a season playing out. Because these 8 days off with the Sixers, I think have almost changed everything in terms of a mindset. As you mentioned, they have 27 games remaining and then beyond once the postseason begins. It is very possible we could see a different Sixers team who read the headlines, who knows the truth but isn't going to tell you, and wants to prove everybody wrong. And it really leads into, you know, a Sixers question that I have for the audience, and we have so much we're going to get into today, is how you see this Sixers season playing out the rest of the way. Because, Al, I'm going to say it. After hearing, and I know Brett went way too far there and went very Gabe Kapler-esque, and when you hear what Joel said over the weekend, when you hear what Ben said over the weekend, and the mindset moving forward, and 27 games is still enough to where you can right the ship, refocus, and you know the talent that team possesses, I think they're going to go to the NBA Finals, Al Morgani.
You're saying this?
Yes.
God.
Yes.
I don't know what to do. You're the most negative person I've ever met in my life. I don't even know what that, but Brett Brown calling you at night? What the hell is
that's
wrong
not
with
nice,
you?
Al.
That's not true.
What the, tell me you agree with me, Al Morgani.
How can I agree with you from what I've been watching? I did at the beginning of the season. How do you see things in the real? What do you have, reverse vision?
What's the matter?
How do you? Hey, not,
you've covered hockey. How many times have you seen a team look in complete disarray, and then they have a stretch where they'll
that's
be
hockey.
Able to
reach the goalie?
What? Yeah, that's true.
That's hockey.
That's what with the Blues last year.
Everybody else.
Yeah, but it wasn't solely on the goaltender.
I was optimistic when the season started. Then I watched with my eyes and said, maybe this isn't going to happen. You, on the other hand.
Yes, I'm there.
Negative eye vision. You see black and white, and white when it's black, black when it's white.
What's the problem?
How do you feel better about this team now than you did?
Because of the words that were said over the weekend,
what you just listened to the coach. If there had been a sign language person next to him, she would have heard herself rolling her eyes. Come on.
I can't talk to you anymore. Let me talk to someone who's a little more logical and things out. Bria Hughes,
no.
Do you feel any better about the
no.
six? Oh, God. Billy, I got to turn to you here. Do you feel any better? Based on what you heard Brett say, what you heard Joel and Ben say during their time off about the stretch run of 27 games and beyond that, do you feel any better?
Not what they said, but just looking at the facts of the schedule and where Bell's schedule is.
Oh, so the fourth easiest schedule in the NBA is kind of helping you a little bit?
Yeah, you know they don't have that many road games. I think they can get the 53 wins.
53 wins, which may be the fourth seed, which is at least home court for a round.
Yeah, but I don't know if they can catch Miami, which Miami has a 5-game stretch coming up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if Miami stumbles on all 5 of those games, then I think Sixers can get them. If they don't, then I don't think Sixers can catch them.
Okay, and you know this conversation isn't isolated to the 76ers, and we're going to get into it because Joe Girardi, his presence, the philosophy, the resume, I believe is going to have a far greater impact immediately than most even realize. Al, do you feel more positively
yes.
about the Phillies than you do the Sixers then?
I do. Because only because I don't think the Sixers, I wanted them in the NBA Finals. That was the, I consider it a failure if they don't at least get to the conference finals and then get in.
Sure.
For the Phillies,
what, there's no expectation?
If they get in the playoffs, I'm thrilled.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think they have
Is that a bar, though? Is it an expectation bar?
Yes, it's an expectation.
Why not? Why not, Al?
Because the other teams are better.
Yeah.
They have more money spent on free agents than any other team in Major League Baseball.
Well, that's over. But you're counting last. I mean,
just, no, over the course of the last three seasons.
Yeah.
Anybody else in Major League Baseball, Al?
Yeah, but
I realize a lot is spent on one player, but still, yeah. you look at the numbers overall. They
can he,
still
can
say
he be
it.
Your third starter?
We need Bryce to expand his resume a little bit.
I would be if they made the playoffs. I would be happy. Yeah.
But also, their payroll was really low before.
Right, so, and then they when the time was right, then they started spending money. 888-729-9494 #9494
How's your dog?
And AT&T. Well, it wasn't great yesterday, Al.
No.
Thank you. No. I'll explain because I had multiple accidents on the floor. I was
well,
on
my dog.
I didn't attend Sixers practice because of a dog. Because my wife convinced me, be home with the dog. It's a puppy. You need to break it in.
Break it in?
Yeah. Never mind.
You are whipped, aren't you?
No, I did it for the dog, not for anybody else. Don't worry. There's a lot we're going to discuss this morning. We have a great lineup of guests. Jack McCaffrey's going to join us at 7. Matt Gelb's going to join us at 8. Derek Bodner at 9. On the other side, we're going to tell Al the way that it is, Billy King, and you know who insulted us yesterday, and how it's going to play directly into some wonderful prizes.
Oh, cool!
We are going to give away this morning. 888-729-9494 #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone. Our time 6:18.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.